The Unruffled Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m. In time for So What's Your Story? We're live and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here, only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston Downtown, with critical sidekick Shannon McKerchy. You know, best-selling author Louise Hayes writes, "No person, no place, and no thing have any power over us, for we are all the only thinkers in our mind. When we create peace and harmony and balance in our minds, we find it in our lives." Well, tonight's guest speaker, his telling style says it all. He's been told that he thinks too much, but that silly impression is mistaken for his eclectic nature, and he seems to have created the kind of harmony and balance advocated by Hay. Native Houstonian Randall Robinson is artistically ambidextrous. He enjoys making music, nurturing his love for painting, constructing videos, writing short stories, creating wonderful food, and along with his wife and three teenage children, they play their hands at design by rehabbing their HUD home. And let's not forget to focus on why he's here. He tells great stories. He has a bachelor's and master's degrees in music education and a doctorate in theology. Dr. Robinson is a fifth-generation Texan and the first in his family to attend college. Fortunate for us, Randall meandered into the moth a while back, and Shannon, with her acute sensory ability for spotting great talent, lassoed Randall into joining us tonight. And I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Randall, thank you so much. It's been a while, and you know, we've been emailing, and it's always fascinating because it's sort of like online dating. You know, you email these guests and you have no idea who they are and what they look like, and you look exactly like the way you sound. How's that? It's just
great.
Wonderful.
Great.
It's just great. Now, so you're a paintbrush wielding video constructing chef with a hankering for the written and spoken word. Is that about it?
No, that's right. There's
right.
Some superlatives there.
I feel like
there,
Joe Friday in Dragon. Is that about it? Right, just the facts. Tell us which creative activity is your favorite.
Well, I just think that the storytelling, because I get to do that with my family, with my kids. It's just, you know, we look at life, we go, what if? And we talk about stories. We share, you know.
Yeah, it's a magnificent mode of connection, and most people don't realize. And we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. I'm curious, what compelled you to pursue a doctorate in theology?
Oh, that's a big question. I think, you know, ancient religions, myths, stories, traditions, they come out of a desire to explain why things are the way that they are. We're trying to make sense of the world. We're trying to figure out why we're here, what's happening in the story that I'm living, why am I living this way, the things happening to us. And I guess I can say it most succinctly is I wanted to know everything I could about the storyteller,
yeah. The
storyteller of the story of existence, life, me.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way of synthesizing those observations for me. And I'm interested in theology as well, and sort of as a hobby. And theology always gives me a reason to say, the more I know, the less I know. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
It gives me a tremendous sense of inquiry. Well, what prompted you to try your hand at the moth? I know you love storytelling, but you walked into the moth one day. What was your goal at the time?
I kind of used to do like comedy bits in high school and speaking bits and being up front of people. And I heard about it. I loved it. I loved the show. I loved the concept. I love that the art of storytelling is reemerging, and that the moth is making that happen, and in some part. And I heard that anybody could get up and tell a story, and I just went to test that. And indeed, I got up. And
they threw me out. Oh, you're the guy who does the show. Get him out of here. We've heard you speak. So
it was just I wanted to try it.
Now your story tonight is about a battle between time and love, and all stories require some level of conflict, but this is in my mind an opposing pair that really beckons some level of intrigue, and I know you're going to be telling it in two parts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look forward to hearing it.
Well, it is a story between a battle, it is the story of a battle, between time and love. My wife and I met, we were both in our late 20s. We met on a canoe trip with a group of people. We found ourselves standing by the river, looking at the aluminum canoe, and we looked at each other, and we got in, and we picked up the paddles, and we paddled away. We ate lunch on a sandbar in the piney woods of East Texas, and spent the day laughing and getting to know each other, and really falling in love. We went out on our first date the next night. We drove to Houston and went to Michelangelo's, and by the time the restaurant closed, we had agreed that we would be married, and no one was more surprised than us. We had both given up on love. We just didn't think that the kind of love that you see in, you know, stories and movies, fairy tales, really existed. We'd had strings of relationships, and we were proactively not looking for someone. And yet there it was. This love was there. And I'm not going to try to describe what that kind of love is. It's way more than the movies or the fairy tales can actually describe. It's powerful. And it was instantaneous. We decided we'd be married. We suggested to the family that it be early November. We got pushback. No one would be there. That's the opening of deer season. So we decided January and got married. You know, the first couple of years, we wanted children. We talked about the wonderful moment it would be when we looked into the eyes of a child that was our genetic coming together of our love, genetic expression of what we felt for each other. We really wanted that. And the interesting thing is we wanted that for one another. I wanted to see her be a mother. I wanted her to be that. And she wanted that for me. And this incredible love just, it just drove us forward. And, you know, it didn't happen for several years. And you do, I guess, what most people do in that case. You keep trying, and you buy a dog. So we did, a great dog. But then we began to investigate medically, and we found out that there were issues. My little swimmers were dubbed as being low in motility, and she had a disease that was treatable. And she went through treatment and a surgery as well. We were told it would happen. It didn't happen. It still didn't happen. Years went by. We tried IVF. That's the artificial insemination thing. Several times. Several times. Before insurance paid for it. It was very expensive. I came to loathe little white plastic cups. And they still kind of make me nervous. And she went through all kinds of hormone therapies, and at the end of 10 years, still nothing. We gave up. We quit. We accepted that we would not have that moment of looking into that child's face that looked like us, and time had won. But somehow, the love that we have for each other, we dug deep. We took hold of that love, and we decided, no, we were going to have children. And you know, we feel like we took hold of our love, and we raised it up like pulling Excalibur out of the stone against time, and we forged ahead, and we decided to adopt. U.S. adoption laws are not kind to 40-year-old people. You don't get an infant in the United States, and you don't get a sibling group, which is what we wanted. So we went internationally, and internationally, the country that would allow sibling groups the most was Russia. So we hooked up with an agency, and they sent us tapes, and we looked at the tapes, and we saw three of the most wonderful children we'd ever seen, and we watched their every move, the way they turned their head, the way they toddled, the way they crawled, and we chose them. Once we chose them, we had to do the paperwork in a certain amount of time in order to get them, and we just loved them, and we did that paperwork in record time, they told us, and we took that paperwork, we handed it off to a woman behind the counter of the Secretary of State's office of the state capitol, and we handed it off to her, and she took a look at it. She walked over to a filing cabinet. She came back, and she said, "I'm sorry. I can't accept any of this. The notary public that did your paperwork had let her her seal lapse, and I'm sorry." And we walked out to the railing that looks down over the rotunda of the state capitol, and we held on to each other, and we started crying, and we thought, again, time had won again.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wow. We're all going to gather ourselves, and we're going to listen to the rest of this in just a moment. This is Hank Rubicek with Shannon McCurchy, and you are enjoying guest teller Randall Robinson on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.9. 5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you're listening online. But I'm not handing you a line when I tell you that I'm thrilled you're here in any conceivable way. So it was the second time you saw your wife where was it? At Michelangelo's, and mm-hmm. you decided at the end of the night that you were going to be married.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you order?
I think I had the fish. I'm pretty sure.
Right. Okay, yeah. Good. I'm just checking because those of you who are interested in love, you probably want to order what Randall did at Michelangelo's, which happens to be a great place also. Let's listen to another part of the story.
Yeah. Well, we stood there for a few minutes and gathered ourselves and our thoughts, looking down on that marble floor with that the great seal of state embedded in it. And we headed towards the elevators, and then we heard her name called, and we turned, and it was the woman from the office. And she said, "Do you mind coming back in here?" And we went back in, and she went around behind the counter, and she said, "Give me your paperwork again." And we handed it to her, and she looked us square in the eye, and she said, "The last 10 minutes never happened. Do you understand what I'm telling you?" And we nodded, and we said yes, and we started crying again, and we hugged her neck, and we got her name. Her name was Georgia, and we've thought of her every year in celebration of our children. And so we headed out, and we were approved, and the paperwork went through, and it's a couple of months before we were to leave to go to Moscow and to get our children. And critical in that time is for the agency that we were working with to establish a court date with a Russian judge in a Russian court in the city where our children were in the orphanage that they were in. And that was all established. The date for departure approached. Well, 2 weeks before we left, Diane Sawyer aired a primetime multi-part expose on the horrors of Russian orphanages, and the Russian government did not respond well. Rumors were that they were going to shut down with sanctions, and we were told to go on and get on the plane and go. That the process could be a little more rocky than normal, but that we would make it. And we had to fly to Chicago and then fly from Chicago to Moscow. When we arrived at the airport to go to Chicago, we were told that the American Airlines flight had a leaky coffee maker, and the flight was delayed for 5 hours. When we arrived in Chicago, the Aeroflot plane had already left for Moscow. We went, American Airlines refused to sign our ticket over to another airline. They put us up in a hotel for 3 nights. It blew our time frame all out of the water, and we did not know whether the Russian judge was going to reschedule. So there we were. The agency said, "Get on the plane anyway in 3 days." We did. We landed in Moscow, and it was okay. The Russian judge had said yes. We went to the orphanage first, and we got to see our children. We got to hold them, and we got to play with them. And for the love we'd seen just from watching the video, we just, oh my gosh, these children are perfect. They're absolutely wonderful. We were so excited. We went to the court date. We had to stand in front of the judge. We held hands. Oh, just like we were holding hands so tightly, our knuckles were bare white. And the judge was not pleasant. The judge was asking questions that indicated that she thought we were, you know, ugly Americans coming and buying children. And the questions went on. And how do you answer those questions? I remember the question was, so, when you buy this child, these children, and get them home, is your maid going to raise them? That was the question. Finally, she came to a question, and I was starting to get upset, and she came to a question and said, why do you want these children? And I looked at the interpreter, and I said, please say this exactly as I'm saying it. I just want to be a father. And I looked at Renee, and I said, and she just wants to be a mother. That's all. And the judge started crying. And the judge went out of the courtroom and came back a few minutes and said, yes, okay, you're approved. And so we got the kids, and we head to Moscow. Now, in Moscow, what had to happen was this. A physician had to sign off for the kids to leave the country. That doctor's signature would approve the children at the Russian embassy, which we had to go to get their passports and leave the country. That physician doesn't approve their health as good quality health. The physician is there to approve that their disabilities and their chronic health conditions are debilitating enough to let them leave the country. They have to have something medically wrong with them to let them be adopted. Well, the knock came on the door, the door opens, and our shock, and again, our hearts were just jolted with fear, because it's the doctor from the Diane Sawyer expose who had ratted out in the whole expose his country's orphanage system. And we thought, oh no, this guy's signature isn't going to go through any Russian official's approval. He assured us that it would. It did. So we got the kids on the plane, 14-hour flight back. There's a blue line in the floor. There was at that time when you approach the entry point in the airport we flew into, where you have to stand behind until you're called up to the glass to hand over your passport. And I remember standing there with the kids. We were called forward. We crossed that line. Everything was accepted. We went through. And there in the airport, we knelt down and we hugged each other and we cried and we knew. We knew. We looked into the faces of these children. And we knew that they were going to have life and grow because of our love. And our love would be expressed in them. And we knew that the battle was over. And we knew love beat time. That's the final score.
Wow, what a beautiful story, Randall. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Shannon suggested that this might be a great story for our Valentine show, and she was right. This is a great story. Nice job, Shannon. Really beautiful. You're a very tender storyteller, and you know, I love watching you tell a story, because some tellers do this, but you do it so well. It looks like the story is really unfolding as you tell it. Obviously, you've told it more than once, twice, but my feeling is that every time you tell it, it's like telling it for the first time.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
It's because it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah, the facts can't change.
Storytelling creates a level of authenticity in all of us that I think just can't be denied. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the main reasons why there's a revival of storytelling. Mm-hmm. I think there's a tremendous need for a level of human authenticity. And we do it in a way that just makes wonderful sense. And love is the universal language, I guess. It's the universal language. But what a beautiful story.
Thank you.
And the kind of emotional kaleidoscope that you had to experience throughout that entire ordeal. I met one of your sons just a little while ago. What a great young man. And I know you think you've got the perfect kids, but my sense is that they probably have the perfect dad. You are listening to Guest Teller, Dr. Randall Robinson, on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston. Now, you know about the Houston Storytellers Guild, I hope.
Yes.
You've heard about it,
yes.
Right? Everybody's got to be a member on that. The Houston Storytellers Guild, our proud sponsor, the group of which Shannon and I are proud members, is hands down the best storytelling group in the state, and that really is no hyperbole. We hold monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out the site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. And be sure to visit us on our So What's Your Story Facebook page. Shannon, what are we going to find when we look at that great page which you have created?
Well, you're going to find great information about our guests every week, articles, and about upcoming storytelling events such as The Moth this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, that is going to be a lot of fun. And that's where we found Randall. If you had to give me three adjectives that you think would fit, if Randall's first name, middle name, and third name were adjectives, what would you give him?
Loving. I've never met a better guy who
three
wanted
words,
to be a father.
No sentences allowed. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I'll never put you on a game show because you will really screw it up.
Obviously.
Honestly, God. Three adjectives. Loving, absolutely.
Fatherly.
Okay.
Fatherly. And passionate.
Very good. Very good. I love it. Yeah. Check out Shannon's Facebook page because some of the questions that we ask on this show probe a little bit deeper. We explore them a little bit more, and she does a great job with that. And make sure that you like us on the way out. Now, next week, producer, writer, and cartoonist Connor Clifton will be sharing yarns on So What's Your Story. He works for Houston Public Media, charged with their public affairs show, Houston Matters. And we're happy to think we matter, and I hope he does, and that's why he's coming, and we love that idea, because this show really does matter. This is becoming we do this show really for the same reason we eat or sleep, because we have to. It gets to that point, and I just want to thank so many people for their support, and our guests are just unfathomable. They're just wonderful. Be sure to tune in next week and every week, for goodness sakes. How do your children feel about storytelling? I mean, they have to be somehow captivated by your love for it.
Well, I think it's kind of like asking a fish, what do you think about water? Mm-hmm. Because it's around them all the time. We play games with storytelling. Somebody cuts us off in traffic. We come up with a story as to why that person might have to drive that way, you know. We used to turn the TV sound off.
Yeah,
so
I just went to a comedy class of driving. It's amazing the kind of interesting stories you hear about why people have to drive certain ways. So you make stories up about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we made stories, and we go to a movie, and I mean, my kids now and us, we come out of the movie, and we're analyzing it in discussion according to, you know, character development and story arc and how they felt about different parts of the story. They're very astute, and what I love is that the thing I love the most is Renee and I get to sit, and we'll hear them together. Still sitting at the table, and they'll be telling each other stories, and we almost cry in those moments again, because it's just so powerful to hear them telling each other about their lives and their stories.
Yeah, the revival, and we've been talking about a revival, and I have a very short editorial about reviving because I think it's important. The revival of storytelling is very significant, especially to our children, I think, and that's why I wanted to get your insight about your own kids being raised in a storytelling environment. It's especially important to our children who believe that, frankly, the shattered thoughts supported by texting, the thoughts and ideas that disintegrate before processed by the receiver, somehow imply that real human expression has taken place, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids have forgotten about genuine expression, about ways oral tradition help people to connect. It's the storyteller's unwavering desire to communicate the story, his or her story, I think, that makes the story and its teller so clearly connected. And when this connection occurs, tellers become agents not of performance but of authenticity. The storytellers, hoping they're our children, solidify a relationship with listeners, and the result is a connection, well, connection incarnate. Every story becomes real, and that's interesting that you said that earlier. You know, it sounds like I'm telling it for the first time because it is real. And that's my editorial and my story, and I'm definitely sticking to it. There's no question about it. Tell us the kind of stories that you loved listening to growing up.
Oh, I was inundated with everything television, besides family. My mother, my grandmother, and my father's, my dad's side of the family just told stories continually, nonstop. If you ask them how they felt, instead of just saying, I feel good or I feel bad, they would tell you three stories
right.
from which you could infer how
right.
they feel.
We had the same grandparents, Yeah. It's something going on with that generation.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had a great love for language, and they had a great love for drama. And they somehow found the formula to put them together and captivate us.
And there seemed to be time. There seemed to be time for them to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, storytelling does one thing that is not going to sound very profound, but it's really very fundamental, and it really is quite profound, and that is when you have to listen to a story, you have to listen to the story. You can't get up.
Mm-mm.
You got to sit there. You may roll some eyes, and you may go, oh, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You may utter a few things under your breath, but you've got to sit there. You've got to listen. You've got to listen. You know, this is always a quick journey, this particular show, to the end of the program, and it's always frustrating because our tellers are not only really wonderful storytellers, but they're terrific people, the type you want to get to know. And that's one of the special byproducts of this kind of a program, that our guests aren't just good storytellers, they're terrific people. And that's what this kind of a program is all about, good people in our community who have great stories to tell right here on So What's Your Story. I know the holiday yielded lots of beautiful memories, but I'm going to have to kind of develop a quick transition here. But one bad one is that we're broke, busted, no money, no Monet, so it's not easy to ask you to think about drumming up a few bucks, but I need you to help me keep this show in mind and to keep it alive with your generous donations. You can get jump started by going to kpft.org and then to donations, indicate your form of payment, and then scroll to So What's Your Story as the program you designate for your support. And I'm going to thank you all I can with all of my heart. Randall, thank you for your poignant stories and laced with love and soul, and you truly demonstrate how a storyteller can stretch the boundaries of the human heart. Everybody better stay put because Scooter is up next. I've seen him enter the stage. And he's going to be bringing you Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story. And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.